We are the 1, 2, 3
Star Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports. I'll give you the sports facts, my sports opinions, because I'm pretty much a sports genius.
What's up, everyone? I'm Eddie, and I know the least about the sports, but I'm your average sports fan, sports watcher. I don't know the who's who's, and I don't know the what's what's.
What up, y'all? It is Sizz from the North Alpha Male West Side of Nashville. I am back. This might be bigger than when Michael Jordan returned wearing the number 45. I'm kidding. But I would like to say I'm back.
He's back.
You're like UT. You're back. Too soon?
What does that mean?
Because that's what Sam Ehlinger, after they won the
I thought you were talking about his brother. I'm like, what are you doing?
Why would I make a joke about that?
I have no idea. I'm like, now you're talking about Sam.
No, remember when Sam, when they beat whoever they beat Georgia, and he was like, we're back. And then they sucked after that anyway.
Man, Coach. Yeah, I remember that. It was just a weird thing to talk about, you know?
No, because he said he's back.
Yeah.
So oh, I get it. I made the joke about.
I get it, but when you look at the news, you know, like it's.
Which is terrible.
What
but
you see.
But I would never make a joke about that, about right. Someone losing their brother. That's absolutely terrible.
Well, his brother, did they investigate that?
There's nothing else.
There's nothing else. It just says it wasn't suspicious.
And so, then you have Tariq Cohen's brother. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
Yeah. A twin
that
brother.
It wasn't on the script.
No, I just didn't see it.
Yeah. Breaking news.
Wow.
But not suspicious. That's almost makes you think it was, you know, maybe too much booze. I hate to speculate, but something like that.
You know what? It's so weird when you see
wow.
non-suspicious or like whatever you think like
you're in the news, Coach. This is all you.
Well,
What does that mean?
I used to be, guys. No, I'm just saying it's I don't know. As an investigator, like when do you just say I'm going to go ahead and omit suspicious activity here? Like, what is it that you see about a dead body? Me, if I was an investigator, I'd be like, there's absolutely, definitely something suspicious because he's young and he died. Then you start, like, omitting things or whatever. But I just feel like immediately a person dies and then all of a sudden it's like, it doesn't look like anything suspicious. That's bold to say that.
Well, I mean, if there's no gunshot wounds, but then there's also an internal thing, maybe a heart issue. Maybe drugs were involved. You never know. There's an investigation or whatever. But, I mean, dude, maybe they said, hey, he had a condition that we didn't know about.
And yeah,
maybe.
Tariq Cohen's brother was electrocuted trying to flee from police. They tried to initiate a traffic stop. He fled, and he climbed some electrical equipment in Raleigh when he was electrocuted. Oh,
wow. God. What a start, boys.
Guys, usually we come into this.
Well, you brought up we're back.
No.
Sam Ehlinger.
No.
I'm like, what?
I tried to make a joke about Rays, we're back. I tried to make fun of Sam Ehlinger. I tried to make fun of UT because they always say they're back.
Yeah, but they're
mourning.
And
they're never
right
back.
Now.
They're back now, though, with Beard. Who's their coach?
Oh, Chris Beard.
Beard.
Two different totally sports, basketball and football.
Yeah, Coach. That's a weird one,
coach,
too.
Coach, I don't care if they're back in track and field. They're damn back, Coach.
Weird transition, Coach. Speaking of track and field, though, how did DK Metcalf do?
He got dead last in his heat.
Coach, why do you think I said what I said
dead
to segue
last.
To him to talk
but,
about
I mean,
it?
But, I mean, really, I mean,
Coach,
you didn't
saw the script.
Did you expect anything else? I mean, you're going against world-class sprinter.
Athlete. Yep.
It's totally different sprinting out of the blocks, and he still ran a decent time. And if you look at him, he looked like he weighed about 200 pounds more than everybody running
well,
down that
he's
track.
He's a football player, Coach. He's a football player. They are not small.
No, I get it. But I thought he did fine. I didn't expect him to win.
Coach, you got dead last. What do you mean fine?
Okay.
You could do that.
Well, if you're,
but I wouldn't be as close. If you look at the race.
No. You said dead last. It doesn't matter if you're 10 miles behind them or one step behind them. You are dead last. You could do that. I could do that. Ray could do that.
No,
that is embarrassing.
Difference. No, it's not embarrassing. Embarrassing is getting beat by 50 yards. He got beat by half a step by eight other guys.
Embarrassing is getting dropped off your senior year by your dad.
In a white van.
Yes, that's embarrassing. That wasn't embarrassing. He tried something. He got invited. And they said, why don't you come try? And he said, you know what? I'll go and put myself out there. He could have been like a lot of these athletes that say, oh, I'm faster than anybody on the planet, but I'm not going to race them.
I'll tell you what, though. I want to see all these world-class track stars on a football field.
Dang
it. See how you do.
Why would you steal my point? My point is this. Those guys that beat DK makes me feel sad for them. If they had a better set of hands,
they'd be in the NFL making tons of money.
No, because they're tiny. Different. They're smaller.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, Tyreek Hill is one example. He was a track guy. He's learned how to be a football player, but he was a track guy.
And I think his boy called him out and said, Cheetah, you're next, that he needs to race somebody and prove how fast he is.
Bolt?
I don't know. Somebody. It's the new thing. It's crossover. They're trying to promote other sports.
Yes.
So what are we seeing? Baseball? Are they going to try to do that with, I don't know, tennis? Just to prove that you can hit it as...
That's not a bad idea.
That's really not a bad idea, right? That's actually kind of fun. I would like to see Bryce Harper on the clay
court.
We
call it the switch. You know, we're like,
Coach, did we just come up with a TV show?
It's a whole season. You still get to get paid your regular salary, what you get for like Bryce, whatever he gets for the Phillies, he gets paid that. However, for that year, he's got
to
play tennis.
Well, the problem is the Phillies aren't going to release him to go play.
No, I get it, but still.
Guys, Bryce.
That would be awesome.
Hey, Bryson DeChambeau, the switch, he's going to be a marine biologist. He's going to be a chemist. They're going to have him measuring vials.
No, big shot, let's go. Why don't you go into some research company and start doing your mathematical equations there? Let's see how good you are
Coach,
then.
Coach, when he started doing the plus and minus tables, they would laugh him out of the room with his protractor.
Go to NASA, punk. And put your math skills to a real test.
They always said that LeBron James, I believe that's his name, that he could play other sports.
I mean, a lot of these guys could play other sports. Like Dave Winfield. You know, remember him?
Cubs.
Do you remember Dave Winfield?
Yeah, baseball player.
About to have him on the podcast.
He.
The Cobra.
Could have played NBA basketball. Cubs. He could have played NFL. I mean, there's a lot of people. The Cobra. He could have played in the NFL. A lot of these guys could play other sports.
Yeah, but can they play at that level in another sport?
They're saying LeBron could.
So, yeah. So,
it's easy to say it.
Well, yeah, but you have like these athletes that are like really good at football, whatever, but yet you look in high school and they played all these sports
and they dominated.
You wonder like, how did they end up picking football? Were they way better at football than all these other sports? Kyler Murray obviously is good enough to play baseball, but would he be as good as he is in football in the sport of baseball?
I mean he was a top 10 draft pick in the major league, so right. Yes, he's damn good at baseball too.
And Eddie, that's not what the streets say. Like, when you're playing sports, you don't pick the sport.
The sport picks you.
I mean, for me, I was like, okay, I'm good at baseball. Okay, I'm good at basketball. Okay, I'm shorter than these other guys. Okay, I'm no longer starting. Okay, basketball is away. So then I still had baseball, and I still had football left. And I was like, oh, I'm tired of getting hit. Football was done. So all I had was baseball left. So I wasn't an amazing athlete, so because of that, I ended up a cautionary tale, boys.
But you're talking about you, who is 5'5" and
100 and nothing.
100 and nothing.
But to the greatest athletes, they get to pick.
They
for
get to
everybody
pick.
Else, the sport picks you.
Yes,
that was my point. It took me a second. Arnold, better notes next time.
Arnold. Yes, I think a lot of them are dominant at whatever sport they want to be dominant when they're kids. They play all the sports, most of them, and they decide, you know what, I love this game more, so I'm going to go that direction.
It's funny we talk about this, because this is where we're at with my kids right now. Like, you know, it's baseball season, so they're playing baseball. But a few months ago, it was basketball season. They play basketball season. Coming up soon, it's going to be football season again. Like, and I'm trying to figure out, I don't...
Who'd mess with my dials?
I'm not against spending money on private focus lessons.
Money?
So, like, in baseball, I want them to be better hitters, so I'm not opposed to paying extra money for a one-on-one power hitting coach.
Coach, what part of your yard did you plant your money tree?
Yeah, a little too young.
I think this is where they start learning everything. So, if you start learning how to swing the bat early, it could pay off later. But this is what I'm saying.
If you show your kid, your six-year-old, up to a power hitting camp, they're going to tell you to go get your head checked, Coach.
You think, Coach, but
yes, you're a super parent. They exist,
but
and guess what? When I go to these little league teams, these games, and watch the kids hit, I know who's taking these classes and who's not. No, I can see it.
Well, I mean, are their dads built like a lumberjack?
No. Nope.
They're probably learning it from pops.
Nope. I mean, they're not. It's a different technique, and they're learning.
Coach, would you roll up with your fingernails painted? They're like, okay, now I see why the kid has a little bit of...
No. My kids hit. They're just not hitting bombs in the outfield. Like they're not hitting like two or three of kids that I've seen. And you can tell that they are taking separate lessons.
No, that does not mean they're taking lessons.
Oh, yeah, they are.
You know this for a fact.
Yes.
You asked them.
I've asked the parents, and I already know who the coach is, who teaches, and where he's at, and his phone number, and how much he charges.
Who is it? Is it an ex-athlete?
No.
Sosa?
No, he's not, like, famous or anything.
Okay, so he's just a regular dude.
He's a regular coach that coaches, you know, high school.
Oh,
now,
well, but, get him a sweatshirt.
But he does private lessons.
Okay, and how many of his pupils have made it to the major leagues?
I don't know.
We're looking
that
at
question,
a success
coach.
Rate hovering.
No, I'm just
zero.
Saying, like, if you're going to use this money, if that's what you're trying to do, mm-hmm. if you think that's the difference between them making it and not making it.
No. I mean,
you're just saying you want him to be able to hit the ball farther.
Hey, you want him to hit the ball farther? You tell him to come to Uncle Sizzin.
Look, guys. Look, my point is.
No, I'm asking.
Is they're pretty good. I'm talking about my 7-year-old and my 6-year-old. They're right. pretty good at every sport they play. They're pretty good. They're usually above average than everyone else on the team, right?
Okay,
so that's where they stand. However, I can focus their skills and take them to private lessons in the off season to hone in on certain skills that can make them way better than everyone else on that court. And I know that kids do this, but I'm trying to think of, like, I don't want to pay for basketball ones. I don't want to pay for baseball ones. I don't want to pay for football ones. I want to focus on what sport they can excel at, and I don't mind spending money to put them in those lessons. You know what I'm saying?
The problem is you don't want to limit them to one sport at 6 or 7 years old.
I understand.
So you need to wait until they decide, maybe they're in high school and they decide this is, or, you know, 12 years old, they decide this is the sport I want to concentrate on. Because right now you're going to have to pay for all of them if you do that.
And there is a specialty that supersedes all of them, that is better than all of them, and it's baseball. Basketball, such a strong supporter, it's God-given ability a majority of the time. Football, they got to have size. I mean, baseball, it can be taught. The shortest guys are on Major League Baseball
Altuve.
Rosters right now. He's got to use a trash can, but let me get back to my point, Coach. You can teach kids a swing, a jerk.
That's my point.
Coach.
That's my point.
They're short guys. There's an exception.
That's my
to
point.
Every rule.
And I'm telling you, some of these kids that I talk to, the dads that go to these lessons, they're smaller than mine, and they're hitting every shot in the outfield. Smaller than my kids. So it's not about size. It's about technique and what they're learning,
Coach,
with this.
Hitting
guy.
A baseball has never been about size. It's about that jerk. It's the same with golf. It's all the jerk in the hips.
Yes.
It's about running. You need to have them run the block. I don't care about a lesson. You need to tell them when they come home from school before they touch baseball.
We're doing that, Coach. We're doing that.
Okay, it's running is the biggest thing with baseball. It's all in your legs and your hips.
That's right. We're already running laps every time
they
get home
from school. But let me say this. This quote may help your boys because I didn't hear it until I was, I believe, middle school.
The sport doesn't pick you?
No.
No, he heard that on the street.
This quote came from my grandfather, and I swear to God, it changed how I played the game in middle school.
You want a shower with me?
No, God rest his soul.
Will you comb my hair?
God rest his soul. He has passed.
Oh, no, that was your dad. Sorry.
He was a great athlete. He probably could have made it very, very far, but he had to work. Work was more important than playing sports back then. But anyways, he told me, and they lived in a different state. So he would come and visit here, there. And he came one time and he said, Ray, do you hit it out into the outfield yet? And I'm like, what? And he goes, every time I've ever watched you play, you never hit it into the outfield. And, dude, for whatever reason, that stuck to me. And maybe it's something you tell your kids. Dude, I was just never told. You kind of want to hit it to the outfield. Who wants to hit little boring piddlers into the infield?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe if it's a screaming line drive. But when Gramps told me that, dude, I started jerking the ball. I'd go home and jerk. All you practice doing is jerking. Okay? Jerk. You want to jerk that ball.
The ball?
So that because of that, I thought, you know what? Gramps is right. I don't hit it to the outfield. How am I going to get strength to hit at the outfield? And that's when I just started batting cages, going home, jerking. You got to jerk that ball.
So all it took was for Gramps to tell you.
So you want to hit it to the outfield?
Do you want to hit it in the outfield?
I never realized it. I was just little piddler. And then I'm like, okay, well, what am my brother doing? What's another guy doing? Oh, yeah. He's moving his foot to the left. Oh, he's using a lighter bat. He has more bat speed. How are these guys jerking better than me? Because for whatever reason, I wasn't jerking properly.
But when you got home, you jerked.
You didn't watch any YouTube videos on how to jerk?
Nope. For whatever reason, my dad was never like, yeah, come on, you're not jerking it enough. Okay, Pitts.
Brother. And your dad played minor league baseball. So you had like...
He was a jerker.
He had hereditary... Was your brother great at baseball?
Yeah, I mean, he was a power hitter.
He was?
He was really good.
More than you.
Well, no, I became a power hitter in high school.
After your grandpa told you that.
I hit 5 home runs one of my year. Coach, I ended up becoming a home run hitter.
No, my question is, could your brother have played beyond high school?
He did. Me and him both played in college. But, I mean, we played on teams that were in the smallest towns. We had to drive towns over and play baseball. If we had the proper training and we got to play baseball all year round, I lived in damn Michigan. I'm telling you, we could have both played college ball. My brother could have played minor league baseball. I mean, he was an amazing left-handed hitter. It was snowed all the time.
How did the college recruits find you two?
How
were you recruited? Like, how did the word spread out? Were you guys?
Let me say this: we paid for this company, I believe at the time, $500. They did a video of us and sent it to 200 schools. Did those 200 schools get the video? Probably not. Might have been a scam. Anyways, nobody picked us up, so we drove to this school in Chicago, and I was going to go there anyways. It was comparable to Division II, and they said you can come on the team.
Comparable,
but it was interesting.
So, did your brother play all 4 years there?
No, we both played 2 weeks.
Oh, both of y'all.
Yes, and then we were off the team. My brother had a lot of difficulty in college. And, I mean, he was already not doing well grade wise, and so I mean, he was thinking about leaving the school. And the coach is like, we already have 4 catchers. Like, we don't need a 5th. And I'm like, okay.
Man, that twin billing kind of crashed down, huh?
And so, I mean, yeah, I mean, he probably could have continued on, but he ended up just, I believe he was only there a semester, I think.
Damn.
Yeah, so it wasn't even a base. For me, I got cut. For him, it was probably the grades, and then he just went on to greener pastures.
So, Eddie, I think going back to your kids, I worry about private lessons this early just wearing the kids out. They get burned out too soon. Because you see that a lot of parents do this, like, oh, you're going to do this. And there was back in the early days of this show, there was this guy that called
Tiger
and was like, hey, my daughter can beat you in a mile race, okay? And he had her out there training and training and training.
Wait, are you talking about the Big Show?
Yeah.
The Big Show!
She was in middle school.
But this was a long time ago?
Yeah, long time ago. She was in middle school. By the time she got to college, like, I'm done with this, I think. Like, she just, like, I'm like, You burn them out. So I don't know if private lessons is the key right now.
Well, they're not burned out right now, and they want. I mean, we're already doing basketball private lessons. We're only doing it like twice a month. But it's just something so they can get their skills a little tighter in the offseason.
I don't think it's a coach. I think if you're going to spend your money, pitching machine.
Yeah.
Why not spend it on equipment?
Pitching machine where, though, Coach? I mean, they can't play in my backyard. I'm going to be hitting every house.
Coach, I heard you say it on the Big Show. Your backyard isn't for practicing baseball.
Right.
You need a bigger house. You need a playground next door.
Right.
You got to go to the park.
The kids aren't
good. We go, Coach, but when I go to the park, I'm there for 5 minutes, and then the game starts. And I'm just like, oh, sorry, I'll get out of your way. Sorry, guys. Come on. Guys didn't realize
their game,
game
or
today.
somebody else's
Coach.
You can't just find a field.
I do, Coach. I've done it every single time. We're like, all right, let's go, guys. And it's 3:30.
I'm not talking a baseball field. I'm talking just a field.
Oh, Coach, we're in the city. There's not a lot of fields out there.
Coach, have you ever been Nashville? There's skyscrapers and sidewalks.
Yeah, Coach.
There's a park right by my house, and it's open grass. Yeah. You can just come and hit the baseball.
Yeah. No, Coach, not where I live. There's a school by where
I
live.
Okay, there you go.
And there's a baseball field, and we go.
But like school has a track, and right inside
and there's people walking there, Coach. I can't just find an empty field.
Listen, there's a dope field right next to McCabe, and I was telling you guys about it. The home run porch is all netted. So, I mean, we could do home run derby. You'll never lose a ball.
That's legit.
But it's right next to a school. I don't know.
I mean Coach, it got to the point where I was like, oh, look, there's an empty one. I drive by every day. There's no one ever there. And I go, and then as soon as we start loading up and hitting, there's all these guys getting out of the car to play cricket. I'm like, all right, okay.
Okay, you got
to have cricket league.
Your job and then is I saw to another find field. A field.
I saw another field, Coach. So I'm like, all right, boys, let's go. I got my bucket of balls. They get out. I throw one pitch, and then all these cars show up, and they're playing lacrosse. Okay.
Yeah, you just haven't found the field of dreams
yet.
Yeah,
you got to find the field. You haven't found Blue Jay Stadium.
The Sandlot. Haven't found the Sandlot.
Blue Jay Stadium. You haven't found Scribe. I mean, there has to be something out there.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Blue Jay Stadium is where No Teeth Keith practiced with the kids.
Hey, kid.
He found a field.
I found us a perfect pasture with a lot of
hiding
spots.
And he brought the lawnmower out there, and he would mow it, and there was rocks, and he was like, and what was beautiful, kid? The kids never complained, and we had it all to ourselves. Blue Jay Stadium.
Just meet me at Blue Jay Stadium. Just you and no one else.
That's what he did. He found a field, mowed it himself. I mean, he would put the freaking mower hanging out of the trunk of his car. He'd go mow it. He would line it. He would get bases, everything.
No need to tell your parents, kid, that you're coming to Blue Jay Stadium.
There was no
Take
backstop.
Take his newspaper. That's second base. I'll teach you all about it.
So, yeah, I don't know if private lessons is the way to go.
Oh, okay.
I don't know, though. I mean, I think at 6 years old, private lessons a little bit over the top.
Yeah.
You know how about those intense parents you talk about?
Yeah.
That's what I feel like.
Well, it is. I mean, I'm not an intense parent.
Coach, you're going to start to see God-given ability in the next couple of years. You're going to start to, in your gut, you're going to be like, okay, my boys are good. Parents know when their kids are good or not. You can see the other crop. There's going to become a point, and at that point, you got to get a pitching machine, a friend, somebody.
I mean, right now, one of my boys, I can already see him playing in college.
Well, then
has the ability to play in college. I don't know what kind of college. Could be Rays College. Could be
Batter's Boxes College.
Could be Batter's Box College. It could be Texas. It could be, you know, Alabama. Who knows? But I feel like he has the ability to play in college.
So you think your 7-year-old?
No, my 6-year-old.
Oh, the 6-year-old.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Has the ability to take it to the college level.
I don't even, you think there's, you said one of your, the other kids has a coach that teaches him better?
Basketball coach. So,
okay,
so,
okay.
So there's a basketball coach. I think now he teaches, I think a community college now, or he coaches a community college, but out of his house, he does little private lessons, kids like 3 at a time. So one of my kids' sons goes there with him. So he invited my son, and now all 3 of them, they go to this guy like twice a month. And he's good. And
you've already started doing
this
it.
This is basketball lessons.
Okay.
But then he's got to play for baseball. And if he pays for baseball, he's got to pay for football.
We're too much. And then we're doing football. Then, I mean, one of them wants to be a quarterback. So I'm going to find a quarterback coach. You know what I mean?
But do you feel like you have the ability to teach him a little bit?
I could teach him to the level that they need to like get at 7 years old. But these coaches, it's not about teaching them like how to hit or what. They have these techniques that can help a child learn how to hit. Me, I'm like, no, stand like this, hit it like this, move your waist like this. This is what you do. But these guys are like, no, they have these drills that they learned in some kind of school where they're like, don't put the bat down. I'm going to show you how to hit without the bat. And I'm like, what? How do you do that? They have these techniques, you know, that I'm not trained to do that.
Yeah. I think you do need some help then. See, I believe I could probably coach up a kid, a foster kid, whoever I end up having as a kid. I could coach him up into the 12s, the 13s, the 14s. Then I want that advanced coaching. I think now, Coach, you need a relief pitcher right now. It sounds like you're not up to par.
Here's the thing too, boys. They're at coach pitch right now for baseball. Next year's pitch, like kid pitch baseball. So now I'm thinking, do we need to start teaching them how to pitch? Like, how do you know your son's ready to be the pitcher of the team?
Maybe he's got the fastest.
That's a great question.
Is it the fastest?
It's not
throw?
The fastest. It's got to be
most accurate.
Most accurate. At that age, it's most accurate.
Coach, have him throw you a beer. Whichever one is able to spot you, dude, that's the kid that's be the pitcher.
You want
to
be pitcher? Get on over to the fridge, get me a beer, and throw it right here down the pipe.
All right, let's do what we just did the last 6 times. Throw me a beer.
I mean, that's like No Teeth Keith. We had an all-star team. Balcony's red when we were 12 years old. And Joshua Worley from the Braves, he could throw the hardest. But good God, the guy hit the strike zone 1 every 5 pitches.
Right.
And so finally, Keith said, kid, you're going to play first base. And he brought in Jeffrey Fierro.
He was he threw the ball the hardest and he played first?
Because he couldn't.
Shouldn't he play third or shortstop?
You didn't know where it was going.
Okay.
Kid, you're the hardest.
So it's just still inaccurate.
Inaccurate.
Maybe put him in the outfield.
Jeffrey Fierro, he was the shortest kid. He threw about 35 miles an hour, but he threw strikes every single time. Guess who our best pitcher was? Jeffrey Fierro.
Yeah.
Because he threw strikes.
Here you go. This is the advice you're getting from everybody. Rowan Gardner, remember him? How did he start pitching and practicing from Rookie of the Year? Throwing it into the dryer, Coach.
Oh.
That's how you get that strike
zone. That's the strike zone.
Yes, Coach. Have him throw the socks in there.
Not a bad idea.
But, yeah, I just feel like you don't know some of the little stuff. Right now, they're not going to give you some mind-blowing stuff, but they're going to give you stuff that you never learned. How long did you play baseball for?
Up to 13-year-old.
Okay, Coach. There's a lot you got to teach them that you're not teaching them.
Man, maybe I'm crazy. Maybe people are going to respond to this and be like, dude, you got to get them in lessons as soon as you can. But I never had lessons as a kid. And
look at you now.
I know. Look at me now.
But that's what I'm saying. I never got lessons as a kid, and I'm not playing next level.
But like, I wasn't. That's not the difference between me playing the next level.
But
not.
You look at 7-year-olds, and this is where I'm coming from. You look at these 7-year-olds, and like already at 7 years old, there are 2 or 3 that stand out above the rest.
Right.
And at 7 years old.
And here's what's crazy. Those 7-year-olds might stand out at your little league, but they're nothing compared to other little leagues. Nothing. Because you had the ones at my little league that stood out. But they didn't go anywhere.
No,
they
didn't
go and play. They were just blah, whatever. Like they were fine, but they didn't make it anywhere. Like you would think, oh, that guy's going to be amazing. And then they, when puberty hits, everybody levels out, and there's just a few that are a little bit above. Like the kid that from my high school, Justin Ruggiano, he was never the best player. Never the best player, not even in our high school.
And I've heard of him.
Billy talked about him.
He went to the minor. He went to a small school. Then he goes to A&M, a late draft pick of the Dodgers.
Look at
and
him
he
now.
Just worked his way, and he spent 8 or 9 years in Major League Baseball.
World Series, everything.
Now, he may have got coaching back later, but he was never the best. The kid that was the best was Clint Culp. His dad played in the pros. He was the one that was going to make it.
Yeah, where did Clint end up?
He's married and has some kids. I mean, that's what I mean. So it's – I don't know if private lessons is the key. I think you're going to see natural ability and you'll be able to tell, but maybe you want to spend the money on that.
I don't. No, that's why I'm talking to you guys about this. I don't want to spend the money. But if it's going to be an advantage to them, absolutely. I don't mind spending it to them.
But, Coach, I like that you're trying to find a field. That's the key. You find a place.
But I like Ray's idea, pitching machine.
Dude, and you're not just going to this place. Well, the pitching machine allows them to play without you. Otherwise, these kids are jacking around. They're not getting any good pitches. You're there. You're giving them good pitches. When you're not there, there's going to be a lot of times when you're not because of work. You need that pitching machine. They can always go to the field then and do home run derby. That's where it all starts, the love of the game. Home run derby. When you're playing them, that's all we did with my dad. Home run derby. My dad's like, try and hit a base hit. Are you guys doing home run derby? No. I mean, it's all about home run derby. Nobody gives a crap about anything. That's where they start their swing. They learn the game. Dude, it's freaking awesome, isn't it? Look at all those Sports Center clips you see. It's dads playing home run derby with their kid.
I mean, I'm shocked at the amount of dads that are like involved in kids' lives because my dad didn't do anything with me. Like, really, like, I go to the baseball field, and it's 5 o'clock. We have a 5 o'clock game, meet there at 4:30, and I'm like, I'm home by, like, 1 o'clock, so I can do that, no problem. I get there, every dad's there warming up with their kids. I'm like, how did you guys get out of work to warm up with your kids?
That's a great question.
Question. So all the dads throw their kids in warm-ups?
If they get there early.
Okay. I was like, that's weird, because we always threw to another kid, but okay.
And usually, us dads are the ones that take the kids to the game. So we take the kids to the game. There are 3 or 4 coaches. They start working with them. And the rest of the dads, we chill for a little bit until our wives show up with the rest of the family. And then we kind of separate into our families. But it's just weird that these dads are all available now. When I was growing up, my dad was nowhere to be found. Who knows where he was?
He was at Applebee's.
I know he was working, I mean, quote unquote. But I mean, where? Like, Ray, was your dad always around throwing balls to you?
Yeah. But, I mean, he was obsessed with the game. He played it professionally. So, he loved baseball. And I'm sure to a point he thought maybe we could continue the family tradition of making it pretty far in baseball. And then we just ended up not getting that tall. But anyways.
Yeah, brother's big.
Coach, my dad loved baseball. So, it goes back to my point. Tiger Woods, his dad was great because he always played golf with him. But, I mean, Tiger's dad was awesome, but he also loved the game of golf.
Yeah.
That's why he loved playing with
Tiger.
That's
Tigers. Why he liked
so
doing
that. So, these dads that are at the field with their kid – I guarantee you, every single one of them love the game of baseball.
Good point.
And I think they just love their kids. Not saying your dad didn't, but
that. Yeah, I'm in. Oh, man. He liked a little better, you know what I'm saying?
And so what you're saying is all the dads are there, so we shouldn't even have celebrated Mother's Day yesterday.
What do you mean?
You said all the dads are there. It's always the dads. So
for baseball, but I mean, moms, you kidding me? Like, we had Mother's Day yesterday, and I told all the boys, like, name one thing that your mom does for you. And everyone's like, well, everything. Like, mom does everything for me. She cooks. She, like, washes our clothes. She loves us. Like, she is sweet to us. She drives us to school. She
makes,
like,
daddy happy.
I mean, hey, damn, that's true. I mean, you know, moms do everything, Coach.
I was really just making a segue into saying happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
Coach, good a day late.
No, and then Ray, we were having a talk, and Ray goes, man, it's so weird, because Bay made him text his mother-in-law, happy Mother's Day.
Well, and I mean, and then I also had to send the text off to my sister, because she's a mother of two, but she's only been my sister my entire life, but now she's transformed into the mothering role. But she's not my mother, but I have to text her and say to my sister, happy Mother's Day, but she's not my mom.
Yeah, but she's a mom.
But what does that
and it's the day to celebrate all moms. So any mom that you know, like for example, obviously my wife woke up and told her Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
I called my mom, told her Happy Birthday, Happy Mother's Day. She called her mom, and then I yelled on the other line, Happy Birthday, Mama. Happy Mother's Day, Mama. Like, it's your day. You're awesome. And then when you go places, like we went to dinner or whatever, I see a mom out there. Hey, Happy Mother's Day.
No, I would say it to other ladies. Like, there was a lady walking by the front yard, you know, and I was like, Happy Mother's Day.
She's like, I'm not a mom.
No, I know she is because she lives a few doors down. Okay. She has two kids. But it's Ray is right. I'm like, it's so weird because I don't text my mother-in-law Happy Mother's Day. She was on the phone with my wife.
Then you yell.
And I yell, hey, Happy Mother's Day to you.
But not a text?
Not a text. No text, no outside communication. Because
yeah, I guess I didn't do that either.
Because it's not my mom. Like, I didn't call my sister and be like, hey, Happy Mother's Day.
My pops, he had the greatest quote of all time. Every Mother's Day, my mom would say, oh, thanks, kids, for all the gifts. Thank you. Then she looked at my dad. Well, where's my Mother's Day gift? And he'd say, you're not my mom. And it was a great point. She's not his mom. She's the mother of his kids. But he said every year, without a doubt,
Coach,
my dad'd be like,
she did not like that.
Coach, every year, my dad'd be like, I didn't get you anything. You're not my mom. And then we'd all be like, ah,
Pop's got her. Pop's got
you're
her.
You're not his mom.
Hey, I bet
not.
He didn't get anything that night. Every time he said that.
But no, I think he still believes it to this day. He's like, you're not my mom. Why would I get you a Mother's Day gift? Coach, he still believes it.
It's great. It's a great point.
Yeah.
It was just funny, the conversation Ray really and I funny. Were having while we were peeing at the urinal, because he was like,
what you guys were talking about over there?
Yeah, that's what we, and I was like, that's funny. Goes,
well,
yeah.
And then I got on the bender of wishing a bunch of people Happy Mother's Day. So our one friend we always hang out with, Amanda, she has like two kids. So I texted her. I'm
Happy
like,
Mother's
Happy
Day.
Happy Mother's Day. I'm like, well, that was weird. And then she's like, thank you. And I was like, okay, well, that went well. Then I texted Amy from The Big Show and I go, Happy Mother's Day. And I'm
you
and then
did?
She, and she messaged back. She's like,
wait,
thank
wait.
You.
You really? Texted Amy from The Big Show, huh?
Really?
Coach, I got in a little bit of a bender. Where
did you text my wife?
Because my wife got no text from you, damn
it. I don't have your
it.
Wife's numbers.
Well, that's a good thing. Let's keep it that way.
So I just started texting random women Happy Mother's Day. I don't know how any of them took it, but I did get responses.
That's weird, Coach.
Coach, I got down a weird spot where I just started wishing everybody a Happy Mother's Day.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think it came across to some women. They're like, oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Speaking of Mother's Day, hey, Coach, it's been a long time.
They're going to have your baby.
Hey, Coach, it's been a long time listener of The Big Show. And I started the podcast from the beginning about 3 months ago. And I got to say, it's my favorite.
Oh, so, thank you, Coach.
My son and I have the same birthday, Sunday, May 2nd. I was hoping to get a shout out.
You got
thanks
it, Coach.
Again. And I'll hang up and listen.
You know, if you're in the room with 39 other people, there's a 50% chance that somebody in that same room will have your birthday.
Coach, I heard that.
And he said, I forgot to say my son's name is also Junior. Same birthday as me, same name.
Attaboy.
Greatest gift ever. So Orlando Ortiz and Orlando Junior Ortiz, happy birthday.
Nailed
on
it.
May 2nd.
Happy birthday.
We're only about a week late.
We're back to our usual 8 days.
And then Tyler. Hey, I just want to make sure I got the right email. I missed my birthday shout out on May 1st. So no shame on y'all. Just want to make sure this is the right email. Peace out, coachers.
You got it, Tyler.
Hey, happy
birthday,
Tyler. Dang, dude. We need to be on top of that a little bit more.
Appreciate M2 for filling in. Pitts as well. Scuba Steve as well. I did have, what was the things lunch said? Botox. I had a Big Show.
Yeah, and then I'm.
Duties.
Wait, are we not going to talk about why you were mad?
And then also
about the interview. I'm sorry. We're good. We're good though, right? You had the weekend to cool off. You're all right.
Did you guys talk about it?
Who?
You and Lunch?
Lunch? I don't believe we're in a fight.
Yeah, I don't believe
you were
mad.
In a fight.
No, he was mad.
You were mad that he did the interview without you again.
Yeah, Mark Long. It's okay. Ray, does he really care? I don't
Ray.
Know. Was it Friday? He's in a bad mood.
Why didn't Eddie do it?
Because I was mad too,
exactly,
Ray.
Exactly.
I was so mad too, Ray. You were mad.
Are you reading from a script?
No.
I was mad too.
As a matter of fact, Ray.
Hey, I always love guests that we've had 2 weeks before, and then we double interview them.
I know, Coach.
By the same. Hey there, Mark. It's me again. It's Box. How are you doing, man? Is this even getting recorded? Or are you just talking to me?
I mean, the feedback was. He doesn't even record it anymore.
Coach.
The feedback was interesting, though.
What?
I mean, there were about 3 people that liked the interview.
There's a lot more people that liked the interview. There's a lot more people than 3 that liked the interview. Absolutely.
I saw somebody did, you know, share with everyone else, like, hey, guys, just a little bit of advice. There's a random interview that starts about 45 minutes into the episode. I would just stop right there. I wouldn't keep listening. I'm like, dang, that's really nice. Just helping other listeners. Give them tips.
I hate
that.
To tell you, a lot of people like the interview. Just because, and people that don't even watch the challenge like the interview because they like to hear the excitement, the genuine excitement I get when I get to interview someone I like. Hey, not everything's for the listener, guys. We do this show for us, and if you don't like
that's
it,
not true.
Kick rocks.
And I hate to say this, but I love, what is his name, Mark Long?
No, yes. Mark, is that his name?
Yes. Okay.
I love him, but there's always that feeling in society, in business, in this and that people hold on just a little too long.
Like Mark.
I love what Real World did. I love the Road Rules when I used to watch it, but I mean, he's still holding on to that?
No, he brought back the Challenge All-Stars.
Coach.
These are OG.
Coach, if you're still doing the morning show when you're 60, you held on a little too long.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay, no, but I'm saying.
So you want me to be unemployed at that age?
No, I'm telling you the real.
Dude, is that what you're saying?
Like, Mark, does he have other business investments he's looking into? Because I would hope. Because the Real World thing be coming to a close, folks. It dominated our childhood. We've all grown up. We're all older now, and it's still going on. But if it's lucrative, God bless.
Right, if you're still making money and you're having fun, it's like Jimmy said, it's adult summer camp.
Who's Jimmy?
She's one of the girls on the show. She's from Real World New Orleans.
Her name
is
Jimmy?
Yeah, the second Real World New Orleans. But that's what I'm saying, is if you could get paid to go have 3-week vacation with a bunch of people in a house and compete in some things and have some drinks, wouldn't you do it?
Oh, yeah, of course. But when you're leaving your family, then it's like, okay, I just chose to go on spring break instead of spending time with my family.
Is this coming from the guy that still applies for Big Brother?
I don't have kids. But when I
he
always,
doesn't have a family. Really.
He does. He has a wife and 23 kids. I hear about it in this commercial.
No, they're not real. Commercials?
Remember in the minivan? He wanted to get a minivan to keep his kids safe.
The people that can leave their kids for a 4-month time span, it always just kind of rubs me the wrong way. I mean, my parents one time left us for a week when they went overseas to Germany.
And that rubbed you the wrong
way? Other than that, I don't know if they've ever left for an extended period of time. It just, if you're going to go get crap-faced on a beach and call it the challenge, if you got kids, a little weird. And I'll hang up and listen.
What about people that go on Survivor that have kids? Is that weird to you?
No, because they can make a better life for their family. The challenge.
You can make a better life. They're playing for $1 million.
Oh, they are? Well, then I'd take back everything I just said. If it's a $500,000, $1 million payday, yes, you can create a better life for your family, so please go do it. And that is why we're doing the podcast.
Well, that was quick. I mean, it changed his mind like that.
I didn't know the money was that significant.
Yeah, it's increased a lot in the recent years, dude.
Well, I mean, inflation, guys.
Well, you know what, Mark? I fully support you, buddy. Keep doing it.
Hey, go get it, baby. Now, Eddie, did you see the controversy with the Kentucky Derby?
No.
The horse that won?
Seabiscuit.
No, what is his name? Medina Spirit.
Okay.
Tested positive for something that he's not had a legal amount of something in his system.
The horse or the jockey?
The horse.
Oh.
And so it looks like he's going to be disqualified, right? No, you don't take it out back and
get
shoot
rid of
it. But what's crazy, here's what's crazy, is all the bets, it doesn't matter. If it gets disqualified, if you bet on Medina Spirit, you don't have to pay your money back. You keep the win. You're still the winner. That's weird to me.
What? So if you bet on this horse and you won,
you won.
Yeah. Okay.
But if he's disqualified, he didn't win. He's not the winner.
Yeah, but getting all these people their money back is impossible.
I understand that, but
that's why the rule's there. You can't like online, no problem. You can refund people their credits, whatever. In person, where the Kentucky Derby is, and you go to the kiosk or whatever, and you pay, and it's impossible to be able to get your money back. Impossible.
That's true.
So you can't do anything about it. That's why that rule exists.
So, but how pissed are you if you're the one that bet on the second place horse?
Pretty pissed.
And it was like 25, like a huge underdog.
Yeah.
And you would have won, and now they're going to disqualify the horse because it was cheating.
Yeah, that sucks.
And oh my God, you don't get your money.
Yeah, it's no good.
And I love, this is the fifth horse of Bob Baffert that has been
Who's failed. Bob? He's the owner?
He's the trainer that has failed a drug test in the past year. And Baffert said, I got the biggest gut punch in racing for something that I didn't do. Hey, guy, I hate to tell you, when 5 horses of yours in the last year, I'm going to say when you smell a rat, You seem like a rat. You're probably a dirty freaking rat.
Hey, horse coach.
Oh, if you smell a rat, if you smell a horse. If where there's smoke, there's fire, bub.
Yeah, I mean, the fifth horse of yours in the last year, I think something's going on.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever been to the Kentucky Derby?
No.
No.
Have Is you? It one of those things on a bucket list?
I think so.
Really?
South Beach, for whatever reason, he doesn't own a map. He thinks that Louisville's right next to us. It ends up being an hour or more, right?
It's a couple hours.
But it would probably be a cluster F with the Kentucky Derby getting out of there on a Sunday, or it's a Saturday.
Saturday, Coach.
Okay,
sounds
so maybe
great.
It's possible, but South Beach has always said, hey, man, what if I fly into Nashville, we drive to Louisville, then drive home, and I always say, dude, that would be a damn nightmare. I don't live right next to Louisville, but to
and
him,
you'd be hammered.
Kentucky Derby is a bucket list, and I don't know. It does sound cool, I guess, if you got a good group of people, but not just me and South Beach and suits and top hats.
I'll be honest with you. Is it the only race that day, or is there racing going on all day?
All day.
Yeah. Just different races?
Yeah, because it's the 12th out of 13.
Okay, so...
I had no idea, because I feel like it would be cool, but it takes a long time. Even when you turn it on the TV, it takes a long time.
Dang, 2.5 hours, Coach.
To get there, to
drive.
Yeah, I mean that's probably why I turned down South Beach.
But I don't know. It looks like a big old party, is what it is. It's everybody just getting hammered. It doesn't look that fun to me, but maybe I'm wrong. But maybe people that have been to the Kentucky Derby can tell me. But it looks not that fun.
Coach, there's a race here. I think it's called Steeplechase or whatever. I would suggest you go to that first, and if you like it, then go to Kentucky Derby.
Bay used to go every year, and she said it was a blast.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Like, they would get all dolled up, and it turns into a big old party. All the girls are wearing their Sunday best, yes. Boys. So usually you see your wife, what is she in her PJs, yoga pants? Not at these. The women are to the nines. They got the heels on. They got the girls pushed up, and they're going to the races.
I tell you what, man, when we first moved here, I always looked at the Kentucky Derby and been like, man, that'd be fun. Like, I think that'd be a lot of fun. But now, I don't know if it's that I have four kids or, like, I just don't like doing stuff unless it's really fun. Like, I watch it on TV, and I'm like, that looks like a cluster to me.
It does. It looks like a long time for that little 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, and also, it's people that can take Monday off. Nobody that goes to the Kentucky Derby works on Monday, and I will hang up and listen.
Well, why? It's on Saturday.
Because I've been explaining this to my wife. These events that people go to, a majority of American can take off Monday. We can't, because we have a thing called
The race is on Saturday.
It's on
you
Saturday.
You need to recover. Everybody stays over. Can you imagine the headache you would have coming in here on a Monday?
Everybody, Coach, you can come back on Sunday.
Everybody still stays there and parties. They're doing the mint juleps and all that stuff. No. And then they leave on a Monday. But that's why it's a relaxing, fun weekend. For us, it would be a damn rocket ship. Oh, we got there? Oh, the race is over. All right, let's head back to Nashville. We got a show to wake up for.
No,
on
you
Monday.
Can spend the night, Coach, and then wake up at 10 a.m. and drive back at 11. You're home before 5 o'clock.
And you can take a nap, and then you can get up,
but that's
enjoy
the
day, go to bed, come in on Monday, and what do you know? You can do the show.
Sounds like a bunch of excuses, Coach.
Guys, no person has to have their voice primed on a Monday morning like we do, and that's why all these fun events. Oh, my gosh, that would be so much fun to go to the Super Bowl. Yeah, if you could take Monday off, but
Super Bowl's different.
Like, we can't take
Monday
off.
Super Bowl's
Monday
a lot different because Super Bowl's on
a
Sunday.
It's on a Sunday, and it doesn't end till like 7 o'clock.
Okay.
End till 7, like 9.
Really?
Like, the events keep going and going. Like, another one, Burning Man, my wife. Oh, that'd be fun to go to
that
Burning
looks terrible.
Man.
You guys want to go to Burning Man?
That looks awful.
Why do you want to go to Burning Man?
I want to go to Burning Man. I'm so cool.
Did you bring your guitar?
Like, I'm so psychedelic, man. Like, I'm so indie, bro. Like, let's go.
I wrote a song about it, man.
Dude, like, I was out there, and I, like, had my guitar, man. I was at Burning Man.
Hey.
I got some sand in my eyes. Yeah.
Hey, look what I made with all my bottles of water, man.
Wow. That is so cool, man.
I mean, that actually sounds cool.
You've never lived until you've been to Burning Man.
Hey, man. You know what I wonder about Burning Man is how do you get there? Because it looks like it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yo, man, you don't know how to get to Burning Man? If you don't know, you don't need to pee.
Oh, man.
Burning Man. Yeah, you thought I was going to tell you how to get here, dude?
Like, hey, bro, which way is Burning Man? I don't know, dude. Just listen for the music.
Oh, yeah. Just for the neon lights in the sky, man. Where are you headed, bro?
Burning Man.
Oh, dude, hop on in. We're headed there, too, dude.
Coach, it's not Woodstock, Coach.
He no, just channeled a 1960s music festival.
Hey, where are you going? Hop in the van, man. We're going to San Francisco.
Are you cool with the Volkswagen Beetle? Come on.
You got any weed, man? Yeah, a lot cooler if you did, man.
Hey, man, can you stop at a payphone?
I got to call my mom, man.
Dude, that is exactly like Burning Man is Woodstock, just it's a modern day.
True.
It's 100%. That is all it is. A bunch of freaking crazy people going out there and acting like they have nothing. I mean, they take weeks off at a time, I guess, and because Burning Man lasts a long time, doesn't it?
Man, there's a documentary on Woodstock that I think it's on Netflix. It's really, really good.
Like the old Woodstock or the new Woodstock?
The old. There's no. Is there a new Woodstock?
In 99, they had one in the summer of 99.
Not that one, because no one cared about that one.
No, Forrest went.
I saw it on MTV.
No.
I remember watching it on MTV.
Let me tell you. He was supposed to go with a group of people, okay? And we went on a baseball trip that summer because that was the summer we graduated high school.
I'll take you guys to Woodstock.
And so we drove to all these baseball stadiums, and we were in Chicago, and his people backed out on him, like that we're going to meet him there. He's like, I'm still going. And he got on a bus.
And drove to Woodstock.
From Chicago.
By himself.
And went to Woodstock by himself.
And did he have fun?
He said after about 4 days, he was out of money and he was pretty miserable.
4 days?
How did he last four
the
days?
The hell?
Dude?
He said he slept in a tent, just like, but after 4 days, he was out of money and it was pretty rough.
So this documentary shows like the 69 Woodstock,
the real one.
The real one, that it was a catastrophe. Like they literally just ran out of money, food, everything. It didn't stop raining. Some of the bands couldn't get there, so they had to hire helicopters to like bring the people in just to continue the party.
Sounds like Firefest.
It was like Firefest, except that it went on. Firefest coach didn't happen. With Woodstock,
still unbelievable to me.
Woodstock, they had fences for people not to, they couldn't get in or whatever, but people broke down the fences and they were like, well, screw it. I mean, we're not going to be able to charge anyone, so we're just going to take a loss and just keep it going. So it was through the love of just music and the festival people just being like, hey, man, we're not going to make any money off this. This is going to be terrible, but let's just keep it going. And they told the bands, listen, we're not going to be able to pay you because they tore down our gates, man. Like, we can't collect money. No, the vendors ran out of food. There's no electricity out here. Like, there's nothing. But if you still want to come out, come out. And they're like, yeah, man, we'll go play for free, man.
And that's incredible.
That was, dude, it's such a good documentary. Because we grew up thinking, like, oh, that was crazy. Like,
and what's it on?
I think it's on Netflix.
I mean, I don't even care about it, but I'll look at it.
Eddie, did your wife walk in on you watching this? I'm sure she was like, dude, you have four kids. What are you watching?
I might have watched it while they were all out of the house. Okay. Maybe.
And speaking of crashing the gates, so my wife used to work for the company that put on Lollapalooza in Chicago.
Yeah, Lolla, man.
Yeah, shorten it. You're going to be cool, dude.
I'm not,
it's called Lollapalooza.
Like short for lollipop.
No, I'm not trying to be cool. But she said,
it's Lala, dude.
It's Lala, bro.
Sorry, bro. I'm still over at Burning Man.
Lala. Your wife used to work at Lala.
And she said, every year, there are numerous people that get hit by cars because they run across traffic trying to jump the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they get hit by cars. Boom, boom, boom. Because they don't want to pay for tickets.
That's terrible.
I mean,
Lala,
just,
bro.
Lala, dude.
It made me think of it when you were saying they crashed the gates. She said all the time, people were running across traffic trying to get in. Boom, hit by car.
Well, the reason they can't get in CMA Fest is because it's in a football stadium and people are trained to keep them out.
Correct.
Football style. But those festivals are in open fields. There's maybe some fences and stuff that aren't built up to par. But, I mean, a football stadium, that's why they're able to keep them out of CMA Fest.
Speaking of Lala, remember I told you about that guy I played golf with who gambled and I dropped him off at this underground gambling thing?
Yes. All right.
Well, he told me a story when we were playing golf. He was like, yeah, man, I used to live in Chicago, man. I would go to Lala and I would, he said he would make brownies and tell people that they were weed brownies and sell them. And he said, I'd sell out in like an hour, dude. I'd make $1,000 and then bail. And I'm like, and they didn't have any weed in him. He's like, hell no, man. I didn't have any weed.
No, people just like an hour later got the schlitz, dude.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm like, dude.
That is so genius.
You are crazy. He's like, yeah, dude, they were all kids, too. Like, I'd sell them here, $10 a pop, weed brownie.
That is so genius.
Well, then they'd realize in an hour when they were just craving ice cream and they weren't seeing stars.
Well, yeah, good. By that time, that dude was gone,
though. But yeah, and they, like you're going to find him in Lala.
Lala.
What did I say?
Lala. I don't know what you said.
Coach, Lala, whatever the uncool way to say it is the way you've been saying it.
Hey, I never claimed to be cool with Lollapalooza, man.
Lala. I don't know.
What do you say?
Lala, bro.
Lala.
No, it's Lala.
Lala.
O-A. Lala. You're saying Lola.
The funny thing, the inside joke that you guys at home aren't going to get about this is we used to all call it Lollapalooza.
But then
we met this person, and this person went to it for a weekend and came back and was calling it Lala.
Wait, who?
That position.
Yeah.
Oh!
Kiss
oh, dang,
Coach,
guys, I forgot Coach, about that.
She went there for 2 days, and she came back, and she's like, I was at Lala.
But before they
before
went,
it
though.
Was Lollapalooza.
We called it Lollapalooza. That's what I'm saying. I've never called it whatever the hell you're calling it.
Lala.
She was there for 24 hours and started calling it Lala.
I completely forgot about that.
Now, guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My challenge on the NFTs on NBATopShot.com, it's up.
Non-fungible tangible.
Are you
not real?
Hey, hey, by the way, over the weekend, I sold my James Wiseman that I got in my pack last week for $85.
Hey, are you making money now?
Yes. I paid $14 for the pack.
Overall.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, you ready to see my reward?
Yeah.
I'm going to see what number of Giannis I got.
All right.
Just came in.
All right.
I'm going to click on
Let's see. Hustle and show.
Hustle and show. There's the Giannis.
Where?
Right here. Write it. You ready?
Okay.
View challenge. What the heck? Okay. Let's see what
you
number.
It says you have to buy 20 more to receive your challenge.
Well, why the heck isn't it there?
How do you spell anticlimactic?
Hey, open up the one that says this is a terrible bid.
Well, I wanted to see. I was hoping y'all would be able to be jealous of my card. And
there you go. There you go. The one labeled nobody gives a shit.
Well, why isn't it there? Maybe they haven't sent it yet.
Yeah, you have to buy 10 more, Coach.
No, I already bought all the hustle and shows. I got the Colin Sexton.
This guy doesn't realize that they're making him buy more so he can open up a stupid pack.
Coach, is there a pack that says, "Fucking psych, bro"?
No,
maybe they're hitting at Lala, bro.
Hey, I mean, I've sold two cards. I sold the Wiseman for $85, the Sexton for $189. I mean, I am banking now.
I don't know about the bank, because didn't you even admit that Sexton is now gone for more than that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's up for $289, but it hadn't been bought.
It sounds like you're not playing the stock market.
Did I make money?
Yes.
Okay.
You could have made money by selling the pack too.
I could have, but I made $85.
Wait, and is this true that you were having? Is there was confusion how people were able to purchase the stuff from you? Because I thought I saw some listeners from the Sore Losers Nation were saying they're trying to buy your crap and they couldn't even buy it. Did somebody not tweet us
or,
and say,
or no, I think he was they trying were trying to gift
them? He was trying to gift them to me.
Okay.
And in order for you to gift, you got to buy like 20.
Yeah. Something about he's only been on there a certain amount of time. He only had three moments.
It's a Ponzi scheme.
And he couldn't gift like them to me. But
gifting
so yeah,
tables.
I had the Colin Sexton and then this, I bought the rest of this challenge and it ended right now and now I get a rare.
Oh. Good
Giannis
Coach.
Block.
The one you just tried to open, but it's not there?
Yeah, it's not there yet. Yeah, I don't understand. Yeah, I don't understand that.
I don't know.
I wish.
I'm glad we didn't do that on the big show.
Jeez. You imagine?
All right. You ready, Bobby?
Hey, you imagine how pissed he'd be?
I'm going to open it. Amy, are you ready? Eddie?
Hey, you hit the drum roll.
I mean, hey.
It's here somewhere.
Where's my thing? I mean, here we could get away with it. Oh, yeah, lunch. You got the sound effect. Ready when you are.
I don't know where it is.
Give me a second, Bobby.
Bobby, go to commercial if possible.
Yeah, where's my reward?
Wow, Coach. Thank you for sharing that with us.
I mean, I understand. Where is it? But there is a pack drop today.
Oh, how many do you have to buy to open get a pack?
Well, they have you have a collector score.
Yes.
And you have to be over 220 to
are
get
it. Are you at 220?
I'm at 668.
Oh, well, then you got to start buying, Coach. So you
no,
get there.
I'm over 220. Oh. I'm at 668.
Oh, dang, you're a real member of the NFTs.
Yeah, I am. I am. And so the pack drop today is dunks.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
Are you getting one?
I'm going to try.
Yeah.
I'll be in there.
Dang, boys.
All right, Coach. Good luck.
Oh, man.
I know you guys can see me in the video footage. The people on the trucks right now crossing the interstates, they cannot. But you see my new Nike shirt. You guys are going to see me sporting Nike over the next couple days. I found a $150 gift card to Nike. and I got a tank top. I got a headband. I got Nike shoes. Boys, I am basically sponsored by Nike for the next 5 days.
Where'd you get all that stuff from? Where's the gift cards?
Opryland. I don't know. I think Bones gave it to me for a birthday present.
Oh, and but you just forgot you had them?
It was in a little box. Found
it. Must be nice.
Coach.
Just so you guys don't get jealous, but I will be sponsored by Nike for the next 5 days.
On NBA 2K, Coach, the video game I play on PS4, the character I have, he can go into the store and buy Nike gear like that. And yeah. I swear they have the shirt that you're wearing right now that my character can buy. And I remember saying, like, I've never seen these in my life. Like, I've never seen a tank top like Coach, this. And then I walk in today, Coach, you look like my freaking basketball character.
Coach, neither have I until I walked in that store and I was like, that shirt's calling my name, Coach.
There's a t-shirt and I had calling
like,
my name.
I had like $12 left and I'm like, sweetie, look around here. See if there's like a mini backpack or something I can get. I don't know. My wife's like, I don't know. There's a Nike headband for $12. I was like, perfect. Bring it here. So, I mean, at the house, dude, I'm sporting a Nike headband. It's great.
Boys, you know what I was kind of like upset with? Over the weekend?
Bryson DeChambeau?
No.
Oh.
I took my kids to Foot Locker. We're just shopping, you know, and I remember one of the coolest things about being a kid and going to Foot Locker. Do you remember? You'd pick out a shoe and you'd say, "Can I try this on?" And they say, Yeah. And they come and it's like size 7 and they take your shoe off and they put here. Try this one on. And then once you put the shoe on, they tie the laces up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't even touch the kid. They just
COVID.
Throw the box.
Coach, do they got to go in the back and find it from the stocking aisle?
Coach, they literally come with the box and be like, "Here's your 7. And they take off. And I'm like, whoa, where are you going, man? The coolest thing in the world was seeing the guy. Like,
oh, they would tie it so tight.
The referee, dude, he'd pull the bottom laces and the next one tighter, and then tie it real good. And then he'd say, "Hey, walk around a little bit." None of that. 0%. And I was like, wow, times have changed.
And not to steal your thunder, but it's even one better at the Nike store, Coach. You actually have to ask, almost beg them. So, Coach, they're in no hurry to go get you shoes.
They don't want to sell.
I'm like, hey, man, I looked through the 10 styles. There's no 10s. I mean, I can't go in the back. I don't have access. Can you go back there and get me a 10? Otherwise, I have no 10, bro.
I can't go back there,
you
dude.
If you don't go get me the 10, I can't find the 10. So, thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Coach, the kids nowadays are in no hurry to get you the 10.
It's crazy, man. Like, I remember wanting to be like those guys when I grew up. So when I buy the shoe.
Wait, you wanted to be the one that be able to tie your shoe so tight?
Yeah.
Because I mean, they did it quick.
They were awesome.
Quick.
They were real fast.
That is a amazing memory from our childhood that I totally forgot about until you said right now.
Yeah.
Even if the shoe kind of sucked, the way they put your foot in it and tied it so tight, you're like, you know what? This shoe's awesome.
and the way they put it on, I guess now that I think about it, they would loosen it. So yes, they slid very it right loose. On. Like, you know how you cram a shoe foot in there? You're like,
The backs are all bent in them.
Yes.
Because you
can't get them on. But they would unloosen everything. And then they would spread it out wide, a couple of and then they just slide your foot on there. And you're like, man, I am meant to have
but
this shoe.
But they tied it in under 3 seconds. Yes. And it was like, wow, I want to learn how to tie my
shoes.
It's
sort of
like
when you go to the dental office and they floss your teeth. They floss so fast. You're like, how did you do that?
Yeah. Well, bad news. They don't do that at Foot Locker anymore. Sorry, boys.
Oh, man, dude.
That sucks.
I know. All right. You're right, Coach, though. That's like you have to, if you could, they'd let you go back and get your shoe.
Coach, you have to be polite to try get the shoe box.
Oh, man. All right, let's go home.
We done?
Yeah.
All right.
1 hour,
We're sort of like Bryson DeChambeau.
Why do you keep talking about him?
Did you see what he did?
No.
You don't know what he did?
No, other than he just sucked.
No, on Friday, he finishes around. He's like, oh, I missed the cut. He flew home. No, dumbass made the cut. Had to get on a plane and fly back.
Oh, that's funny.
Dude, that's our boy.
That's funny.
I thought that was the funniest thing ever.
Really funny.
And everybody's making a big deal like, oh, my God, he had so much travel this weekend. It's his own doing. He didn't wait till the afternoon group was done. He got done with his round. He was in 90th place. It was like, oh, there's no way I'm making the cut. Got on the privy, flew home. When he landed, they were like, hey, yo, you made the cut. And he couldn't fly right back because they had to get a new crew because of flight hours. So he went to sleep. He got up and he got to the course 30 minutes before his tee time.
Where does he live?
Dallas.
He lives in Dallas, and the tournament was
I believe it was in New England.
I think it was North Carolina.
I don't know. I'm just
I think it was in North Carolina.
I'm just kidding. I had no idea. I just.
It's not a big deal. Like, honestly, I think most players would rather do that. Like, go home, sleep in their own bed, and they got a 1 o'clock tea time the next day.
Well, he had a morning tea time because he was one of the last ones to make the cut.
That's brutal.
But it was like, everybody's like, oh my gosh, poor Brett. And I'm like, no, he's the idiot.
He is.
It's his fault. He left the tournament. He flew home. So don't feel sorry for Bryson DeChambeau because he had a lot of travel this weekend and his hectic schedule.
Well, it doesn't matter what he does. I would never feel sorry for him. I don't like that dude.
But they made it like a huge story, and then he finished top 10.
He made a quarter of a mil.
Did he really?
Yeah. $228,000.
Hey, that's worth getting the privy and going back to work.
Well, you always say, well, I wonder what the guys do, because the announcers always say, oh, man, they got to think about this one all night. We'll see what happens on Sunday. It's going to be interesting how they sleep. I mean, let's be real. We learned from Tiger. Not all of them are going back to the Super 8 and, like, going to bed. Tiger was having fun all hours of the night. So,
I
mean, Bryson, he was able to do a flight home. I mean, you don't know what these guys are doing.
Exactly. They're living their lives. I mean, what do we do when we're done with work? I mean, we can do whatever we want.
But here's the thing. Bryson would have got away with that, but then he made the cut. Otherwise, nobody would have known that he flew home early.
Correct.
Of course he's whipping his thing out and saying, I don't care about that. I'm out of here. And then they're like, hey, you made the cut. He's like, oh, crap. You know how many tournaments he's done that to before, and this finally bit him in the butt? I bet he's left early before.
For sure. I mean, hilarious, though.
He looks at all of them. He's like, you guys really, you douches, you really watch the TVs in the pro shop? He's like, I usually leave if I do the math and I figure it out that I won't make the cut.
Yeah, I pulled out my protractor and the compass, and I was like, yeah, I'm not going to make the cut. Let's head on back to Dallas, boys.
Dude,
woo-hoo!
Nobody wants to go to the boring hotel and just sit there and look at yourself. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
The caddy, you and the caddy are making, like, jokes, like, trying to be funny. Hey, man. You old buddy, you come here. Let me give you a nuggie. What do you want to do for the next 15 hours until we play tomorrow?
Nothing. Watch Netflix.
All right. Happy Monday, guys.
All right. Happy Monday to you, too.
Yeah,
Coach.
My Giannis is still in.
Yeah,
my,
it's weird, man.
I don't understand what the hell is going on.
All right. We done?
Yeah.
Ray, you good?
I'm good, boys.
All right. Well, I'll buzz out then.
All right. Hit it.
Okay. All right.
I'm still not there. I'm about to call Calcutta Mike.